Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to all the underdogs, to my people, and even the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if, and that's only if, you like politics, a special blend, special mix of politics, of culture, and personal development that I like to put up all in the blender, mix it all up, and it spits out a special delivery of underdog stuff. You know what we do here. We talk about the uns, the unbelievable, the underrated, the unjust, the unavoidable, the uninhibited, the unsaid. You get it by now, underdog stuff. And as always, every week to take you on that journey, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith. That would be me, entrepreneur, business consultant, leadership coach, content creator, a bunch of stuff. But when it's all said and done, I just like to say I'm in the spreading special stuff and grateful to get to do that every week with you guys here on the air live at WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. But this thing, it ain't just a radio show. It's a podcast because I know folks got stuff to do on Sunday, so you can't always listen live. So it's available on iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, Stitcher, all that stuff. There's an article series because some folks don't want to listen or watch. They just want to read some stuff. So there's the Underdog Writes article series. But we do this in a bunch of ways. But this is probably my most favorite part of the journey, is being able to connect with you underdogs out there live. And what do we do here? Well, this ain't CNN. This ain't MSNBC. It's not the Wall Street Journal. It's not Rolling Stones. It's not The Hill. It's not Fox News. They cover the news. They commentate about the news. But here at the Gregory Neesmith Show, we do that and we get personal about it. So let's get personal about the news and the culture. What's been on my mind? A couple things been on my mind. And maybe they've been on your mind too. One of them is, God loves you, and so do I. God loves you, and so do I. Maybe. One thing that's been on my mind. Another thing that's been on my mind are porn stars. Been some stormy weather lately around here. And another thing that's been on my mind is history. And somehow, over the next 2 hours, hopefully it'll all make sense and I'll be able to pull it all together, that somehow we talked about God is good, that God loves you, and so do I, porn stars in history. Trust me, it'll make sense by the time we're done this journey. Also, just a special shout out, it's the month of March. I wouldn't want to get too far into the show without acknowledging again that it is Women's History Month, and obviously throughout this month, we're going to shout out one of the biggest underdog groups there is, women. And of course, we will be celebrating the contributions of women in history and in culture and in our society, both past and present. And we'll take some time to do that throughout the show too. So if there's any women that you want to shout out, please do that on Facebook Live or call in and we'll take some of those shout outs. Also, if there's any words of wisdom you've received from women in your life, share them. Don't be stingy. Help these other underdogs. Help me, help you, help us learn from the women in your life. All right, let's get into it. God loves you, and so do I. Maybe. The other day, someone asked me a question that I'm sure you get asked all the time, but, you know, it comes up, whether it's going out on dates, whether it's just meeting some new people who are friends, coworkers, people, you know, want to get to know you. One of the things that comes up is religion. And I got asked the other day by someone, are you religious? And I remember thinking to myself that I said, well, you know, I used to go to church. I'm more spiritual than religious. Am I religious? Kinda, I think, yeah. And I started thinking, why was I struggling with such a simple question? It's like yes or no. Are you religious or not? It's like yes, I am, or no, I'm not. And I'm here explaining my past, what I did as a kid, what I do now. And I just was like, why am I doing this? I just couldn't give a straight answer. Then I started thinking, are there any other topics where I do this, where I get slippery, clever? I'm thinking about my past. And so if someone asked me, do you drive? I wouldn't answer with, well, you know, I used to go to driver's school when I was growing up. My parents taught me how to drive. I wouldn't say that. I'd just say, yes, I can drive, or no, I can't. Do you work? I would never answer, well, you know, I used to have a job. I used to work. I used to do chores when I was a kid growing up. But yet with religion, someone asked me a present day question, and I started talking about what I did as a kid. Well, you know, I used to go to church. My parents raised me Baptist. It's a simple yes or no question. Do you go to church? Are you religious? Are you not? I should say yes or no, and instead I'm all over the place. But maybe I'm just the only one. But, you know, for me, religion's kind of funky. I didn't get to choose it. And it's weird, right? I know I didn't get to choose to be black. We get that. That's, you know, inherited. Like, I didn't choose to be a male. Like, you know, that happens. I'm born that way. But it's almost as if my religion is something that I'm born with too, because I don't get to choose. Whatever my parents are, that's what I am. Until I guess I get old enough to be asked the question, are you religious? And then I don't even have a good answer. But religion's always been funky for me. Because to me, weird things happen in religious contexts, at churches. And for me, I'm talking from experience of Christian. I was raised Baptist, Christianity. Look, I still haven't answered the question about religious or not. See, I'm still struggling it, but I'll answer that. I'll get to that. And I'm curious, are you religious or not? What's your answer to that when people ask you? You start talking about what you did as a kid and how you were raised and not answering like what the answer is present day. But religion's always been funky to me, which, like I said, got me thinking. God loves you and so do I. Maybe. So I'm 10 years old. And I take my normal walk to Sunday school. My parents didn't really go to church that much growing up, but they wanted me to make sure I got some experience with religion, with Christianity, being in the church, learning the word of God. And so when I was younger, I would walk to the neighborhood church and I would go to Sunday school because the actual service to me was like long. It seemed kind of boring, but Sunday school was made for me. It was age appropriate. It was all about the kids. And so I'll never forget, we're doing a lesson about who goes to heaven and kids should be saved and they should believe in God and then they get to go to heaven. And I'm like, okay, that sounds cool, I guess, you know, the afterlife. You know, I'm 10, like, cool. We going someplace after this thing called life. Sounds like a cool thing. But I'll never forget the Sunday school teacher telling me that if there's kids or people around the world that aren't saved, don't believe in God, they don't get to go to heaven. And I was like, what? That don't sound good. And then being the curious kid, the smart ASS kid that I could be sometimes, class clown, being someone who would question authority, and just if something didn't sit right with my peace of mind, I would say something. I'm 10, you know, kids just say what's on their mind. So I said to the Sunday school teacher, I'm like, hey, hold up. This doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, I've heard of these things called missions or missionaries where we as Christians and we go out and we spread the word of God, we save people, and then they find Jesus, and then they can get into heaven. And then I started doing the math in my head. Now, mind you, I'm a 10-year-old, so I wasn't doing like real math, but follow along, just using my common sense. And I said to the Sunday school teacher, I said, ma'am, I'm just thinking, I don't think we have enough missionaries that we can get to all the kids and people around the world in time to save them. So you mean that folks are not going to make it to heaven because we couldn't get to them all? That didn't make sense to me. made me feel sad too, that I'm a part of this group, this thing called church, this thing called religion. And supposedly if someone doesn't believe in it, that they don't get this bonus thing called heaven. And I'm thinking, well, that ain't cool, because we can't even get to everybody in the world to even let them know about this thing. And so it felt odd to me that that would be one of the stipulations or requirements of this thing that I was a part of. And so from then on, Christianity, it all felt weird to me. It felt at odds with just my common sense. But you know, God loves you and so do I. Maybe. And then I got a little older in my teen years. You start learning about slavery and things like that. And they say, you know, we went and got the African slaves as part of religious missions and to save the Africans from themselves and bring them to America. And so I'm just like, this Christianity thing just is weird. It's enslaving people in the name of God. There's just wars supposedly that have happened over the years. And on top of that, people who don't believe aren't going to heaven. What if they never even found out about it? Just didn't make sense to me. Now, with that said, though, it's Sunday. I'm in Harlem, and there's a lot of historic churches here. So I'm you know, let me at least give a shout out to, I get some of the good about church. The community, the fellowship, the support you receive, the good music that you get to hear. Well, and you know, that's church by church. Not all churches have good music. But there's good things about it, so I get it. We all want to belong. I want to belong, be a part of groups, tribes, communities. I get it. And so I understand that people want to still do the church thing, do the religion thing. They want to make sure they have members. They want to make sure that they spread the word of God. They want to have people on their team, giving them salvation. Which brings me to the unjust or just right news story of the week that caught my attention. In Columbia, Maryland, it was reported that last week the prayer might have went something like, please God, give me salvation and a car. That might have been the prayer. Please God, give me salvation and a car. And that's because that prayer may have been uttered by more than a few people at the Maryland church on Sunday. That's because Destiny Church in Columbia, Maryland, handed out 5 used cars to demonstrate God's goodness and to attract new members. The Washington Post reported that the church gave away the cars to increase attendance at its new location. It opened up a new location. We're going to bring them out for salvation in cars. It was the first Sunday at a building in a strip mall for the 7-year-old non-denominational church, but its first week or first Sunday in its new location. And Pastor Stephen Chandler said the predominantly African-American church normally draws about 1,100 people a week. But this week, the church gave away 2,200 tickets in advance for 3 services. The car will bring them out. The church added a 4th service, which meant it had to buy another car to give away. And the 5th car was given to a family in need. First few cars given to just random new folks that showed up. And at least they gave one to a family in need. God loves you, and so do I. Maybe. Underdogs, is it just me, or does this feel unjust? Or maybe you're like, it's just right. You got to do what you got to do to get the people in the pew. I didn't intend for that to rhyme, but it did, so I went with it. Is this all good? It's just doing whatever it takes to have people find the love of Christ and Jesus and religion and God? Or are they doing too much? We don't just cover the news. We don't just commentate about it. We get personal about it. So we can talk about what they're doing down in Merlin at Destiny's Church. You get a car and you get a car. Everybody gets a car and salvation. We're going to talk about that too. But we also don't get personal about it. Are you religious? It's one of the few questions that I often can't get a straight answer from somebody. And I don't give one. They just ask, am I religious? And I can't say yes or no. I'm like, well, you know, when I was a kid, I was raised this way. And now I'm like, I'm spiritual. I meditate, but you know, I pray, but I don't think Jesus looks the way it does. And like, I believe in some of the stuff, and I like hodgepodge Buddhists. I do that. Just, I can't even give a straight answer to a simple question.
Are you religious?
I want to hear from you. Maybe you have a better answer than I do. But with that said, I get it. Folks want to belong to things, tribes, communities. Shoot, people want to belong to cults. People want to belong. Don't want to be alone in the world. So sometimes we do stuff to, you know, bring people in. So I was sharing about a story where in Maryland, Destiny Church was giving away cars and salvation to build up its membership. How you feel about it? Unjust, but just right. Going to the Facebook Live, Christine says she's trying not to be religious, but striving to have a personal relationship with Jesus and be more like him. Still a work in progress. Okay. I'm not mad at that. So she's trying not to be religious, but striving to have a personal relationship with Jesus and be more like him. Okay. I hear that. And I appreciate that. Thank you for checking in, Christine. She also writes, I think God will make provisions for those people. And I think she's referring to the fact that when I was in Sunday school and a little kid, I was taken aback when the Sunday school teacher told me that if there were people in the world who didn't believe in God, they weren't going to heaven. I'm like, that can't be. We can't even get enough missionaries to go reach everybody. Just on a fairness level, it's just unfair that somebody can't get into heaven because they didn't even hear about Christianity. Didn't make sense to me. As a 10-year-old, I was like, these people are crazy. That's a bad rule. It's just not even practical. So that was my first interaction with, man, this religion thing, it's got some cool pieces, but it's got some funky rules and beliefs. Christine says, in reference to the church that's giving away cars, you get a car and you get a car and everybody gets salvation. She says, I ain't mad at it. People are always complaining about how pastors are rolling up in expensive cars and clothes while the congregation is still poor. At least they are giving back to the community. Okay. I hear that. I'm gonna let that sink in. I see where you're going with that, Christine. I ain't mad at that. I will say, though, a couple things. First, let me attempt to answer the question of, am I religious or not? I think the answer is, and I heard someone say this the other day, so it's going to be my new answer. I'm culturally Baptist. I'm culturally Baptist. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in coming together and having the support that I often receive being part of the church. I believe in the fellowship, the good food, the music, the singing, the events and things we do in the community. I do believe in that. So culturally, I am Baptist, but I am not religious. And that would probably be my most straightforward answer instead of going into all the slippery slide and clever backstory of what I used to do as a kid. What I do now is I'm culturally Baptist and I'm not religious. And it feels, you know, a little angsty even saying that out loud, because I'm not sure if I've ever said that exact words to my parents. And I'm not even sure where they stand on it at this point when it comes to religious versus spiritual versus God versus Christianity. Is that the only way, the right way? But I know they believe in a lot of the principles of Christianity. Even though I think people have poorly executed Christianity over the years, that's just my opinion. But it got me to thinking, though, where am I being, or I should say doing the most, trying to get someone to love me, get someone to like me, get someone to want to do business with me, get someone to want to be in a relationship with me? Am I doing too much? I mean, it's okay to offer snacks at church, but should I have to offer a car? It's okay to get drinks on a first date, but should I have to fly them to a Caribbean island for a weekend? Where are you doing too much to get somebody to come to your, figuratively speaking, to your church, to be a member of your congregation? Am I giving away the wrong things? Giving people money, buying them expensive things just so they can be around me. Maybe I just should try letting them get to know me as opposed to giving them a car. And then lastly, they gave away new cars to random people that just showed up off the street. They said the congregation is normally thousands, about 1,000 people every week. And they let some random 4 or 5 people just walk up in their church and get a car and go home. Probably didn't even have to do the walk and say they want God to be their savior and become a member that day. They just got a new car. Where are you taking care of the new people and neglecting the people who've been rolling with you? I bet you there were some current members who should have got some cars before just random people showing up. But maybe that's just me. Maybe that's how you roll. Maybe you give all the good stuff to all the new people and just neglect the people who've been rolling with you for a long time. I don't know. Maybe some of those cars should have went to the current congregation, not just random people who showed up because they heard they were giving away cars in Salvation. Let me know what you think. Are you religious? And unjust or just right, giving away cars to random people to come to your church for some salvation? I say unjust. I think it's doing too much. I don't mind people incentives, sweepstakes, giveaways, showing people love, the goodness of God. I get that. But for me, it's unjust because I think it's over the top. And on top of that, if you're going to do it, I would have liked to see them do it for their current members, folks who've been rolling with them, been rolling with God, rolling with the church, rolling with the congregation, show them some love. That's just me. What are your thoughts? Check the Facebook Live. And then still to come, we've been talking about God loves you, and so do I. Maybe. Still to come, porn stars and history. It'll all make sense, I promise, before we're done here. Read a couple more comments on the Facebook Live. I see Christine says, wow, been there, done that, in doing too much. Okay, cool. I'm glad to know that I'm not alone, because for a second, I feel like maybe I'm the only one who has figuratively given away cars before to new people just so that they can join my congregation or just so they can like me or just so they can love me. But I'm glad to see that I'm not the only underdog that's ever done too much or doing too much. And so far, to kick off the show, we talked about God loves you, and so do I, maybe. It's Sunday, and it was only a matter of time before religion made it into the show at least once. You know, Sundays are church and football, and we talked a lot of football last season, Colin Kaepernick, NFL, all that stuff, but we didn't talk much about church, so I wanted to make sure we got a little religion up in here on a Sunday. Seems right. It is that time of the year. It is the time of the year where we celebrate women. And I'm always reminded about just how tough it must be to be a woman, that we have a month dedicated to 50% of our population. Just let that sink in for a second. 50% of our population. It is so tough, so much of a challenge, that we said, no, we can't just have a women's day or a women's week. We got to make sure we shout out women for a whole month because it's hard to be a woman. And like I said before, we have other months of celebration, and it's acknowledged that it's tough to be a Black American, which is why we have Black History Month. And we know that it's a small portion of the population, 10 to 15%. And so oftentimes the minorities of any group can be oppressed and have challenges. But think about it. Slightly over half of our population, it's been so rough on that we felt like we have to have a month to celebrate them, acknowledge them. Like I said, just let that sink in the next time someone wants to debate you on, is it hard to be a woman or not? Well, clearly we've acknowledged it's hard because we make sure we have a month of celebration for over half of our population. And so it'd only be right for me to make sure we shout out some women today on the show. Let me see. Who do I want to shout out first? Let me see if you can guess who this woman is right here.
But what you can never change is the effect that the words dumb and stupid have on young people. So we must always be vigilant when those two words get stuck in our throat. Hey, dummy, God, you're so stupid. You know, just remember that those, what those leave you with are forever, you know, be it in 1810 or 4010, do you know? The effect that they have is the same. Mm.
Powerful stuff. You know, one of the things we get to do as underdogs oftentimes is, and you know, I love unwords, and one of them is unlearn. And one of the phrases, one of the quotes, one of the lines I remember being taught as a kid is that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And then as I got older, I found out it's a lie. It's not true. Words hurt. And as that woman just said, and let me know if you can guess who that was at 212-650-6903 or on the Facebook Live, words can stick with you for a lifetime. Be careful about what you say to people and be extra careful about the bad things you say to yourself. Another clip from this woman that we want to celebrate. She was born in 1955 in New York City. She's an award-winning comedian, actress, human rights advocate, and a longtime host of a TV show that's currently on right now on the airwaves. She started out her career in production in 1983, and in 1985, she won a Grammy Award for Best Comedy Recording. Here's a little more from her. See if you can guess this woman that we get to celebrate and acknowledge during Women's History Month.
Come on. Come on. You know, be an actor because you love to act. Don't be an actor because you think you're going to get famous, because that's luck. But if it's what you want to do with your whole heart and soul, come on. Go everywhere. Learn everything. Learn Shakespeare. Shakespeare's great fun. Don't be thrown by the words. The words are the same words that we use, you know, with a little different implementation, you know. Write things for yourself. Come on. It's a great way to spend time. It's a great way to learn history. You know, it's a great way to learn all kinds of things.
Do it because you love it. Do it for you. Says the woman who is also one of the few celebrities that achieve the EGOT. And an EGOT is someone who has won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony Award. You know who I'm talking about? Do you know who that was talking just now? And despite having dyslexia and dropping out of high school at 17, she earned a PhD in literature from New York University and an honorary degree from Wilson College. She's an activist for gay and lesbian rights, as well as a co-founder of a medical marijuana business. Drum roll, please. That woman you heard talking, and the woman I just described, is that of, shout out to Whoopi Goldberg, someone we get to celebrate during Women's History Month. Next up, we'll do one more before we take a quick break. Shouting out women during Women's History Month. Again, one of the biggest underdog groups there is in America. Not easy being a woman. But we're going to shout them out all throughout the month of March for Women's History Month. Let me know if you can guess who this woman is.
Don't be results driven. Be passion driven. There's no strategy to life, no strategy to career, although many people say that there is. I think the best strategy is to be strategyless and to focus on following our passion. And that becomes its own strategy, if you will.
Follow your passion. That is what this African-American documentarian, screenwriter, and director was talking about. She's the first African-American female director to receive a Golden Globe nomination and have a film nominated for Best Picture Oscar. She started an agency which specializes in movie marketing for African-American audiences. She's pretty big time, and she has one of my recent very insightful and engaging and important documentaries that I remember watching last year on Netflix. If none of that gives you a hint of who the woman is I'm talking about, and the quote, the clip that we just played, is that of Ava DuVernay. And the documentary that I watched of hers was The 13th. And just one quick note on what she said when she said this.
Don't be results driven, be passion driven. There's no strategy to life, no strategy to career, although many people say that there is. I think the best strategy is to be strategyless and to focus on following our passion. And that becomes its own strategy, if you will.
Follow your passion. The one thing that she brings to mind for me as she talks about that is, you know, I remember a few years ago feeling a lot of angst, a lot of pressure when people would tell me or ask me, you know, what's your passion? You got to find your passion for your career, for what you're going to do in the world. What are you passionate about? Because if you follow your passion, you'll find your calling and your higher purpose, and you'll make a difference in the world, and you'll feel like you're doing things of meaning. And I don't know about you, but I remember a couple years ago, that felt heavy to me. I'm like, damn, that's a lot. You want me in like one sentence to tell you what my higher purpose, my meaning is in life, and like why I'm here and my passion, and just like, that's a lot. And for some people, they get it. But for me, I remember I struggled with it. Just it felt so big that I couldn't put my arms around it. Like, what's my passion? What's my calling? What's my high purpose? And so one of the things I've done to get to this point where I can answer that question is actually I flipped the question. It's amazing what can happen if we swap out some words and put in some new ones. And all of a sudden, the question feels a little lighter, feels a little bit more open, feels less pressure. And what I learned is, instead of asking myself, what's my passion? What's my purpose? What's my calling? If I just swap those words out with, what am I curious about? All of a sudden, I was like, that's a much easier question to answer. I'm curious about radio. I'm curious about if I can run my own business instead of working for somebody else. I'm curious about writing. I'm curious about the journey that I'm on to rediscover how special I am in the world. And I'm curious about the journey that others are on attempting to rediscover how special they are in the world. I'm curious about how can we support each other along the way. I'm curious about TV and having a TV show. I'm curious about those things. I'm curious about how to spread special stuff. I'm curious about underdogs' journeys, politically, culturally, and personally. And all of a sudden, just by flipping the word from what's my passion, what's my calling, what's my higher purpose, which felt so big, so heavy, so like, oh my goodness, how can I come up with the answer to the meaning of my life? Swapping in just one word, what am I curious about? All of a sudden, help me answer those questions in a way that felt like I was an explorer, that there was no pressure, that I was just learning as I was going. And so, underdogs, I say to you, shout out to Ms. DuVernay, shout out to Whoopi Goldberg, who both in a way mentioned about how they've approached life and going after what they want and being the phenomenal women that they are. And what I would say to you is, if right now you're still struggling with meaning in your life and you got people telling you, you need to find your passion, you need to find your purpose, you need to find your high calling, throwing all those big words at you, tell them thank you for their concern. And then you tell them you'll get back to them because you're going to go spend some time with yourself and start to think about the things you're curious about. Because the cool thing is, we all know the things that we're curious about. I guarantee you have an answer to that question. And inside of that, you'll find oftentimes the things that energize you, make you feel like you're living on purpose instead of living by happenstance. And so far today, we've been talking about God loves you, and so do I, maybe. We've been talking about history. It's Women's History Month. We've been shouting out some folks. I still have one more shout out to go. And I said today we'd also talk porn stars. And I said somehow it would all make sense. We're almost two-thirds of the way there. Talked about God and that church in Merlin that gave away free cars for salvation. Where are you doing too much giving away free stuff just so someone can join your congregation? Where are you giving out too much stuff to new people and ain't showing the love to your current members, your current family, your current friends, your current loved ones? Don't be like Destiny's Church. In my opinion, was it unjust or just right? I said unjust. You can give away snacks, free food. You don't have to give away cars. And we've been shouting out some women. It's Women's History Month. You know, this is a show about underdogs. Underdogs being people, you, me, others, that feel like the odds are stacked against them to win. And women, clearly, one of the major underdog groups out there in America. And this is the month that we get to celebrate them. And we've shouted out Ava DuVernay. We've shouted out Whoopi Goldberg. I want to shout out one more. And then we'll get to the rest of the show, which is, I said, God loves you and so do I, maybe. We're talking history, women's history right now. We're going to talk porn stars. All before the show's over. We'll get personal about the news and the culture. But first, one more shout out for Women's History Month.
But my main thought when I first came to Wimbledon, and I told myself, I said, I was in the ladies' locker room, and I don't think it was the one that the girls use now. I think it was another one because I was a new person.
So yes, it was in the basement.
In the basement.
You were in the basement. That's right. You soon got to the penthouse.
I was suddenly thinking about my first round match, I got sick. And then I was sitting in the on the edge of the tub, and my head was in my hand, and I was saying to myself, I said, Althea, all you're going to do today, all you're going to do, now promise yourself, is just watch that ball. Don't listen to no calls. Don't acknowledge no names or anything. Obey what the officials call and just watch the ball. And I watched the ball and I wanted to set like love and something. When the match.
Who was that? Do you know who that was speaking in that interview? She was a female African-American tennis player. From an early age, she loved sports and found that her true talent was tennis. This was in the 40s and 50s when sports were still extremely racially segregated. Despite this, she kept playing and kept winning. Finally, she was let into tournaments. In 1950, she became the first African-American tennis player to compete in the U.S. National Championships. In 1951, she became the first Black American tennis player to compete at Wimbledon, and in 1971, she was inducted into International Tennis Hall of Fame. She was also the first Black woman to compete on the Pro Tour in golf. Ooh, I didn't know that. I knew she was a tennis player. I didn't realize she was a dual sport athlete, played golf. Shout out to my producer, Megan, behind the scenes. She makes everything happen, help make sure I have all the news stories ready, the clips ready to roll. Shout out to Megan. Underdogs. One thing I've learned on this journey is partnership is a big deal. No man or woman should be an island. You can try to do all this stuff on your own if you want to, but it's better when you got a team. Shout out to Megan for holding things down. And shout out to Kayla, who does the post-show editing, the video and the podcast and stuff like that. Appreciate both Megan and Kayla. And Megan, you helped me learn something new. I did not realize that this woman, if you haven't guessed who that was, Althea Gibson, not only played at a high level tennis, but also played golf. That's hot. And at some point, not today, I have some tennis stories because basketball is my favorite sport to play, but I have some interesting relationship to race and sports and tennis from when I was a little kid that at some point in time I will share. With that, let's go to the Facebook Live. There's a couple comments. Shout out to Belma, who says whoop whoop, and I say whoop whoop right back. Appreciate seeing Belma on the Facebook Live. And Belma, just so you know, earlier in the show, we were talking about religion, and the question of the day was, are you religious or not? And oftentimes people have this windy road of an answer, what they used to do when they were a kid, how they were raised, this and that. We're asking folks, are you religious or not? What's your straightforward answer to that? And also, there was a church in Maryland that was giving away free cars to random people who would just show up and come to church. Cars and salvation. I say unjust. Christine says, not sure if the cars were just or unjust. Could have been the answer to someone's prayer. Christine, making a brother think. I'm not mad at that perspective. I'm sure that for the winners of those cars, that it was something that they are likely grateful for and definitely can be seen as a blessing. My unjust or just right was from the church's perspective of whether or not that is the most effective way, most confident way to go out and spread the word of God and to get new members. I would agree with you that from the recipient's point of view, that showing up to church for the first time and hearing the good word, listening to some people sing and leaving with a car is definitely a blessing. And I'm not mad at that. With that, what next? Where are we going next? Where do I want to go next? Do I want to go to this next? Maybe.
The president has addressed these directly and made very well clear that none of these allegations are true. This case has already been won in arbitration, and anything beyond that, I would refer you to the president's outside counsel.
You said that there's arbitration that's already been won. By whom and when?
By the president's personal attorneys, and for details on that, I would refer you to them.
But you're aware of them, so what more can you share with us?
I can share that that the arbitration was won in the president's favor, and I would refer you to the president's outside counsel on any details beyond that.
But wait, there's more.
We learned just moments ago that the president is very unhappy with how that press secretary, Sarah Sanders, handled this. So let's start with that, and Abby Phillip live at the White House this morning. Abby, what have you learned?
Well, good morning, John. A lot going on here, as you just mentioned, but this saga with Stormy Daniels seems to be the one thing that the White House can't dodge. President Trump, according to a source close to the White House who spoke to CNN's Jim Acosta, is not very happy with how Sarah Sanders handled this whole situation during the press briefing room session yesterday. And it's partly because of what she did say this time around that may have opened the floodgates for some new inquiries about the president's involvement in this whole thing. According to this source, you know, Sarah Sanders's comments were essentially putting the Stormy Daniels storyline on steroids yesterday. What she talked about was this issue of arbitration. She acknowledged for the first time, we believe, based on what the White House said that the president is a party to some kind of legal agreement involving Stormy Daniels, and that the president is directly involved in this whole thing.
Should we care? Underdog. We get personal about the news and the culture here. Should we care about this story?
Michael Cohen has acknowledged publicly that he facilitated a payment of $130,000 from his own personal funds in accordance with this agreement.
We think it's highly questionable as to whether it came from his personal funds.
You think the president knew about it?
There's no question the president knew about it.
All of it putting the White House on defense.
Did he know about the payment at the time?
Not that I'm aware of.
Have you asked the president this question?
Yeah, I've had conversations with the president about this. There was no knowledge of any payments from the president, and he's denied all of these allegations.
Well, now, God loves you, and so do I, maybe. History, specifically women's history, porn star. We've now made it the porn star. Stormy weather at the White House. Speaking of stormy weather, this winter seems to just be holding on. For anybody who's listening in Harlem, New York City, in the Northeast, it seems like every week we have nor'easters and thunderstorms and snowstorms. So there's been literally stormy weather from D.C. to Boston and everywhere in between. And then there's been Stormy Daniels weather in D.C. with our president. And supposedly it's been reported that president had some type of relationship with this woman, Stormy Daniels. And supposedly right before the election in October of 2016, Trump's lawyer sent some money to Stormy Daniels' lawyer, and the slang version is called sending someone hush money, stay quiet about something. And fast forward to this week, the story seemed like it wasn't going to be a story. Because I remember a couple weeks ago, I talked about this and I said, scandals just aren't scandals anymore. What used to be news just isn't news anymore. That Donald Trump allegedly had an affair doesn't even move the spirit, doesn't even do anything for folks. Folks are like, okay, yeah, whatever. Baked in the cake. I'm sure he did with her and other people. Who cares? I'm like, damn, we got to a point where just a year and a half ago, to go back to 2008 and 2012, we had a darn near superhero in office. He had to be married one time, have 2.5 kids, had to go to Harvard, had to be well-spoken, if that ain't a backhanded compliment to a brother. But he had to be like Superman. I'm talking about President Barack Obama. Scandal-free. And yet, now all of a sudden, fast forward to 2016, 17, and now 18, hush money, infidelity, porn stars. It doesn't even necessarily make it to the news. But it's back in the news this week, because this week we learned that Trump's lawyer used a Trump email, as well as his title given by Trump, to organize the payoff. And according to Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Trump knew about the whole thing. And now Stormy is suing so that she can tell her side of the story. Underdogs, should we care about this story or not? Do you care about this story? I will say, I can somewhat relate to Donald Trump in this situation. Somewhat. Because Donald isn't the only one to ever be involved with a porn star or two. I've never personally been in the physical presence of a porn star. But I have watched some porn before. You know, we get personal about the news and the culture. Trump certainly isn't the first and likely won't be the last person to get himself all messed up because of porn. You know, one of the things I've learned as an underdog, as you know, I've told many of you, I'm working on our first book. Title's still TBD, but it'll be something around the spirit of an underdog's journey. And it'll be both my story, what I've learned along the way, and what I've learned from other underdogs as we've all been working on fighting to rediscover how special we are in the world. And so one of the things I'm starting to do is collect some of those things I've learned that have gotten me to where I am now and hopefully will keep me going to where I'm headed. And I'm not sure if I'm going to call them underdog principles, underdog rules, underdog commandments, underdog steps, but I'm calling them something. And one of them that's likely to make it into the book, likely to make it as definitely an underdog rule, is this idea of everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Everybody wants to get a good job. Benefits and stay there for years and have the safety and security of that job. Everybody doing it. Everybody wants to go out on Friday and Saturday and enjoy the weekend. Turn up team. Have a drink, money to blow. Everybody's doing it. Soon as you get your tax return, time to go shopping, tear the mall up. Everybody's doing it. As a man, and I'm supposed to have a certain sex drive, supposed to want to do it all the time. 40 million Americans watch internet porn. And as a man, everybody's doing it. So shouldn't I want to get that one good job for benefits? Shouldn't I want to look forward to my weekends for partying and playing? Shouldn't I be normal and be like everybody else, every other guy, and watch porn? Because everybody's doing it. But when I do what everybody else is doing, it's hard for me to have the reality of having the things that I want to do.
Internet porn is killing young men's sexual performance. All brain research points in only one direction. Constant novelty at a click can cause addiction. Now, we know this because when scientists examined former internet addicts, they found that these brain changes were reversing themselves.
Hey, I've been there. I used to watch an overwhelming amount of porn, adult internet porn. And as the gentleman says in the audio clip, your brain, my brain, wasn't built for that much stimulation. A click after click after click after click away. And so for years, I had my own interaction with porn stars through watching adult internet porn online. And so I became part of the, a lot of people are doing it. Most boys seek pornography by the age of 10. Most users prefer internet pornography because there's so much out there. Men prefer and end up watching different types of women. And then what happens is my brain, other guys' brains get rewired and become addicted to porn. And it has a potential to become addictive of like all the things on the internet. I mean, we're learning that social media has some properties of potentially becoming addictive for people too. And I know folks are looking into that. And then what happens is, as studies have shown, you start watching a lot of porn and prefer to watch the porn versus being with someone. And it, you can develop arousal addiction. And this can have some of the symptoms of what I've seen in folks who have ADHD, social anxiety, depression, performance anxiety, OCD. Sex is healthy. It's also natural. But internet adult porn can have the potential to not be so healthy. And the brain can become addicted to it. And I know that all too well. And, you know, we get personal about the news and the culture. So we can talk about Trump and his porn problem. But it wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be the Gregory Niesman Show if I didn't bring up that I had a porn problem. But I'll never forget, like most things out there, underdogs, you may have something that's not working for you and not even know it. I'll never forget, I told one of my friends, this woman that I was dating years ago, I was like, hey, one of my friends was telling me that maybe watching porn might be like something a little off about it, and that maybe it could be having some bad effects on me cognitively, emotionally, how I interact with the world or with women. And I'll never forget, this woman says to me, this woman I'm dating, she goes, what do you mean? She's like, dudes watch porn. That's what they do. And it took me back to what I talked about just a few minutes ago, is that one of the underdog rules or lessons that I've learned is that everybody's doing it. isn't always what's best for you or best for me, best for us. And so I had that extreme. And so I'm like, okay, cool. This porn thing feels like it's getting a little out of hand, but my friend says, hey, it's all good. And also I got the validation from a woman, so felt even better, and I'm dating her. So she's like, oh, it's all good. Then we go to another extreme. At one point I was dating this woman who ended up becoming my girlfriend. She found out that I was watching porn. And she said to me one day, she goes, when you do that, it feels like you're cheating on me. And I was like, whoa. I mean, first, I wanted to get very defensive. I wanted to be dismissive and be like, you need to chill out. Like, they're not in the room with me. They're on a screen. And then once I got past being dismissive and defensive, I was like, okay, that's definitely a different extreme than the other woman I dated in the past, which was like, hey, go for it. Like, that's what men do. Everybody's doing it. And so then I had to find out and find my own relationship to it. And so for the first time, I saw like a sex therapist because I needed to reconcile this idea of everybody's doing it. And then on the one end, having someone feel like I'm literally like disrespecting them and cheating on them every time I watched it. And while both those extremes are just those women's experience and what they feel, and everybody gets to be where they're at on this topic, what I knew was that something was off and that I got to dive into it, learn a little bit more about it. So I went on this journey of learning about porn and about the effects it can have, how addictive it can be, the impact it was having on me and my relationship with women, my relationship with my friends, my relationship with myself. And what I learned is there's nothing wrong with porn. Just like for some people, there's nothing wrong with alcohol. Just like for some people, there's nothing wrong with food. But for me, it didn't work. And so this idea of everybody's doing it. 40 million Americans, especially men, being a man, you watch porn, it's okay. And it is okay, but it wasn't okay for me. So I finally went on the journey of changing my relationship to sex, changing my relationship to porn. And actually, I get to celebrate that as of last month, February, it's been 2 years of me being adult internet porn free. And I've definitely noticed an impact it's had on my relationship with myself, my relationship to sex, my relationship to women, and specifically relationship to the women that I may have been intimate with over that time of the 2 years of no longer having this.
All brain research points in only one direction. Constant novelty at a click can cause addiction. Now, we know this because when scientists examined former internet addicts, they found that these brain changes were reversing themselves.
So we can talk about Stormy Weather, Stormy Daniels, and whether you care or not. But for anybody who's listening right now, and you're part of the 40 million Americans that watch adult internet porn, this might be a time for you to just take a deep breath and think about, are there porn stars messing your life up right now? Got you off balance, not quite sitting right with you. Because I'm not here to attack the porn industry or say that it's right or wrong, but I am here to say that just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean that it works for you and what you want to do. Just because everybody's going out to get a good job with benefits doesn't mean that for you as an aspiring entrepreneur and you got this side hustle that you're working on, it doesn't mean that you staying at that job works for you just because everybody else is trying to do it. And for someone who's trying to make some stuff happen and the weekend comes and your friends are like, why aren't you partying with us? Why aren't you getting drunk? It's time to turn up, team, get lit. Let's have some fun. It's okay if your weekends are for studying, because you're going back to school to finish that degree that you started but didn't finish. It's okay for you to do that and not do what everybody else is doing on the weekend. And for those of you who have felt a little bit uneasy, felt like your consumption of porn has been a little bit over the top, a little bit too indulgent, a little bit like it's taking some of your energy to interact with the real woman in your life, then maybe you get to try something different instead of what everybody else is doing.
Internet porn is killing young men's sexual performance.
Because you don't want that to happen. Shout out to all the folks checking in on the Facebook Live. I appreciate you. Your energy and your commentary is always welcome. It gets me going. Shout out to Christine, who I meant to read this earlier, but I'm going to read it now. She said one of her goals for 2018 is to find things she's curious about. And that's because, to me, forget the heaviness of finding your passion, finding your meaning, finding your higher purpose in life. It's good to find those things, but they can feel heavy. And so I'm one of those people that says, and I learned over the years, swap out those words, put in the word, what are you curious about? And I guarantee you, you have an answer to that. You could probably write a page full of things you're curious about, and cool, then go out and explore those things. And inside of that, I guarantee you, you'll find your meaning, your passion, your purpose. Shout out to Christine, who also says on the Facebook Live, she said, props to me for being open. And she also said she agrees with the second woman who told me that she felt like when I was watching adult internet porn, that it was a form of cheating on her. And Christine, I appreciate you acknowledging me for being open because, you know, one of the things we do here is we get personal about the news and the culture. We don't just want to cover the news. We don't just want to commentate about it. We want to talk about what it means to you, what it means to me, what it means to us. And so I've been sitting on sharing this part of my life with you and the rest of the underdogs for a little while, because even I get nervous and anxious about sharing and being judged or people talking about me or making fun of me. But then I realize that I'm part of the problem instead of part of the solution if I don't lean in and share and hopefully create a space where you and others feel like they can share too. Because while the names may be different, some of the stories have stayed the same, and we get to share with each other so we know that we don't have to feel so alone in the world or so uptight about stuff or make it feel so significant. So thank you for saying that, because I feel even a little lighter now by sharing that with you. And to me, the Stormy Daniels and Trump story was just a trigger, an impetus, an opportunity for us to get personal about the news and the culture and about porn, right? 40 million Americans are watching it. This industry ain't making all this money because of Donald Trump, not him alone. They weren't making all this money just because of me. There's others out there. So sometimes just because everybody's doing it as underdogs, we get to figure out some of those things we don't do because, not because they're good or bad, they just don't work for us. Shout out to Daryl from the 215. We grew up together from the city of brotherly love. I love it when Mount Airy and Philadelphia is in the building in New York City and in Harlem. Daryl says, we talking about Stormy? I only have one word of things to say about that. If you pay someone hush money and the news still gets out, you didn't pay them enough hush money. Preach. So a couple things. First, if you're Donald Trump and it's widely known that you're a bit of a guy who likes to be around town and be with multiple women, why would you even need to pay a woman that you had a consensual relationship with to be quiet? It makes me think, and one of my friends pointed out to me, that there must be more that she knows beyond the fact that they had some type of sexual relationship, because just him having sexual relationship, even though it was infidelity and he was married, like, that's not news, actually, in the body of work or the brand of Trump. So I'm thinking she must know something that he doesn't want to get out beyond the actual relationship they have. And you make a good point, D, that clearly 130-something thousand just doesn't go as far as it used to, because clearly the birds are chirping and not staying quiet. So that money that its lawyer paid that he didn't know about but didn't know about but kind of knew, that sent to them because didn't do this and had that and did, but I guess, yeah, it just, it wasn't enough. And then all of a sudden, they're back to here.
Michael Cohen has acknowledged publicly that he facilitated a payment of $130,000 from his own personal funds in accordance with this agreement.
We think it's highly questionable as to whether it came from his personal funds.
You think the president knew about it?
There's no question the president knew about it.
All of it putting the White House on defense.
Did he know about the payment at the time?
Not that I'm aware of.
Have you asked the president this question?
Yeah, I've had conversations with the president about this. There was no knowledge of any payments from the president, and he's denied all of these allegations.
We shall see. On a news note, though, there are actually a couple reasons why, as citizens, as Americans, as actually the employer of the president of the United States, why we should care, is that there is at least the notion that the money that was paid to Stormy Daniels could be seen as part of a campaign contribution, and that would potentially break campaign finance laws. And so there could be some legal issues that come up, not because of the relationship they had. So there was no crime in that. It may be immoral, may be like a bad, terrible thing to do, but it's not illegal. But the actual cover up and money exchange actually could be a crime, you know. So in this case, the cover up is the crime, not the initial actions. And so we'll see. But with that, speaking of relationships and porn stars and God and history, a few weeks ago, we talked about the 36 questions that lead to love, because it was Valentine's Day last month. And one of the things I, you know, brought to the show is that in the culture, there was this whole discussion of loved ones and dating and meeting people. And one of the things I shared was this idea of the 36 questions that lead to love. It was based off of a study by a psychologist, Arthur Aaron, who conducted a study exploring if intimacy between strangers can be sped up by having them ask a set of personal questions. The thought behind this is mutual vulnerability leads to closeness. And in my head, I kept thinking about the fact that we only were able to get to a few of those. We're only able to get to a few of those questions. And so I always said that if we had some extra time at the end of a show, during the segment I call Unfinished Business, that if there was something from past shows that we wanted to come back to, we would do it near the end of the show. And so today we have some bonus time, and I'm going to actually go back to those 36 questions, because we only got to like three or four of them. And what I would love to do is, you know, we get personal about the news and the culture. For one, do you believe in this whole study anyway, that 36 questions can lead to love? Do you think you can meet someone, ask each other 36 questions, and all of a sudden get a feel for whether or not this is the person for you? And they also say, after you answer the 36 questions, you should then stare into that person's eye, which I think is a little awkward, but I get it, for like 2 to 4 minutes. So share some answers to some questions, then stare at each other, and then poof, you'll know whether or not this potentially could be the one. Escalating mutual vulnerability leading to closeness. We're going to play the 36 questions that lead to love game, because we never finished it last month. And it's 36 questions, three sets, 12, 12, and 12, each set getting increasingly more personal in their opinion. I have some of the questions up from the first set. In the last show, we answered 2 of those first 12. You can pick a number, put a number in the Facebook Live, put a number between 1 to 12, put 2, put 7, put one, put a number, and that will determine the number that I question that I answer. But there's a catch. You have to answer the question too, because, you know, sharing is caring. With that, we're going to finish the show with the 36 questions that lead to love, mutual vulnerability. I'm going to answer. You're going to answer. We're going to do this together. Someone give me a number and then we'll answer it. And just so folks know, we're actually going through psychologist Arthur Aaron's study exploring if intimacy between strangers can be sped up by having them answer a set of personal questions. The thought behind it is that mutual vulnerability will lead to closeness. And then when you're done the 36 questions, you get to stare at each other awkwardly for 2 to 4 minutes, and then you'll know, is this the one? Let's see what number is on the board. Number 5. All right, number 5. From the 36 questions that lead to love, let's get personal about the news and the culture. Number 5, when did you last sing to yourself or to someone else? When did you last sing to yourself or to someone else? The question from 36 questions that lead to love, number 5 is, when did you sing to yourself or to someone else? And for me, the answer is on this show. Earlier in the show, I was about to give out the telephone number, and I said, Mr. Telephone Man, there's nothing wrong with this line. If you call up the number, I'm going to pick up every time. Shout out to New Edition. That was the last time I sang to someone else. I sang to you, and I just did it again. What about you, Underdogs? When's the last time you sang to yourself or to someone else? All right. I will look to read the answers to that on the Facebook Live. Also, I've done some freestyles rapping on here. I mean, I don't know if it's really rap, but it was me trying to make some words rhyme while there was an instrumental playing in the background. And when Asha Davis was here, from time to time, we would get into some freestyle fun. Daryl says, within the last 24 hours, I am an American Idol shower singer. Daryl has won American Idol many a times at home when no one else is listening but himself, but he is a winner. And I'm not mad at that. I am known to do some shower singing too, and I think that I sound wonderful in the shower. I also think I sound wonderful in the car when the music is turned up loud enough that you can't actually hear me singing, but I'm singing along. I sound very good there too. And Christine says she sang to Jesus this morning during worship service. I love that. What song did you sing? Did you sing it or did you sing it? One of the things I love sometimes, especially when I grew up, some of the Baptist churches I would go to, you know, you get that solo. Somebody, they just holding it down, make you want to stand up and clap. Because they ain't singing, they singing. Singing. And Christine says, I hope that God heard me. I'm sure he heard you. Keep praying, keep working. It all works itself out. Cool. It's almost that time for the end of the show. I just, 2 hours flies by. If you enjoyed that, I think maybe we'll bring back that 36 questions of love, because there's a bunch of questions we still haven't answered yet, and maybe we'll bring that back as a reoccurring end of the show segment. We used to have something called Uninhibited. Maybe we'll do that in the next coming weeks, because that was fun. I like hearing what's going on with you, and I'll share too. With that, it's time for the big finish of the show. I said that somehow we would get to God Loves You and So Do I, history, and porn stars. And I think we did. We talked about the church in Merlin that was giving away cars and salvation to bring in new members. I asked the question, was it unjust or just right? And from the church's perspective, I said it was unjust. I think they're just doing too much. Give away snacks. There's other things you can give away to bring people in. I just think it's over the top. And at the same time, it made me think about, in my own life, am I doing too much with people who are new in my life? Am I overextending myself? Am I giving away too much as opposed to just sharing with them who I am? And then they will get to opt in or opt out of my figurative congregation based on getting to know me and not having to give away prizes. And also, if I am going to give away stuff in my personal life, just like this church, maybe give some stuff to your current members, the people who've been riding with you for a while, people who've been paying their tithes, the people that have been putting on those fundraiser events. Maybe they should have got a car. We also talked about Women's History Month, because women are one of the biggest underdog groups in America, so we can't have a show that's a special delivery of underdog stuff and not acknowledge women throughout the month of March. And one of the women we shouted out was Whoopi Goldberg and Althea Gibson and few others. And one of the things that they talked about was this idea of following your passion. And I get it, and I love that, you know, I think as underdogs we get to follow our passion, but that can be a challenge. It can feel heavy, feel like a big question. So I say substitute the word passion with curiosity. I learned that from a talk a YouTube video from this woman I saw years ago, and it always stuck with me. Just swapping out the word passion with the word curiosity, all of a sudden it feels lighter, feels easier, feels like you're exploring. And guess what? I knew right away what I was curious about. I was curious about fighting for underdogs and rediscovering how special you are. I was curious about spreading special stuff. I was curious about having a radio show. I was curious about doing this. And inside of that, I found my calling, my higher purpose, things that give me meaning. So underdogs, don't get caught up with having to figure out what your higher purpose is or your calling or your passion. Just answer the question, what's your curiosity? What are you curious about? It'll lead you down the path to things that are meaningful for you and to you and energize you. Then lastly, we talked about porn stars. Donald Trump is in the news with Stormy Daniels. But we don't just cover and commentate about the news. We get personal about it. And so I wanted to share about my own drama with porn stars and watching too much adult internet porn over the years, doing too much, impacting my social life, impacting the intimate relations I had been in. Yeah, a lot of people are doing it, 40-something million Americans, a lot of men. But as we learned here, as a rule, as a underdog principle, just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean that it's something you should do for where you're headed, for what you're up to. And then lastly, I mean, you can't get more personal than escalating personal questions of mutual vulnerability and the 36 questions that lead to love. And shout out to Daryl and Christine for going on that journey with us to end the show. And so with that, I say thank you to the underdogs, callers, and the listeners, folks who checked in on the Facebook Live. Shout out to the team, Megan, my producer, Kayla, my editor. They make this thing hum, both getting me ready for the show, doing the show, and then also post-show on the podcast. And if you miss any of the show, you can listen to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Google Play, and you can watch it too. There's a video on YouTube. In all cases, search the Gregory Niesman Show, and it should pop up for you. And thank you for making this one of the top 100 podcasts in society and culture on Podomatic. Appreciate you. And with that, if you've listened to this show before, this shouldn't come as a surprise as you as to how I'm going to end the show. I'm going to end the show with my favorite quote. And you know what that quote is? Underdogs can't nobody, and I mean nobody, do it like you do it. Nobody.